Good morning. Our sermon this morning is going to come from the Gospel of St. John, which we just heard. And today is Passion Sunday, so it is the beginning now of the Passion, meaning sufferings of Jesus Christ in preparation for Holy Week. And well, first of all, for Palm Sunday, then Holy Week, of course, and then Easter. When Christ arrives on the scene, the religious elite and the religious leaders are confused by him. They want to invite him into their upper echelons, into their circle, into their sphere of power and influence. And he's rejecting it. And they can't understand why anybody would do that. And they see in him a great deal of power. He's healing people. He's doing all kinds of things. And people are following him. And so they want him to be part of them. But Christ, of course, doesn't come to seek his own glory. He comes to do the will of the Father. And so it starts off with confusion. And that's why you see in the early chapters, people ask, the religious leaders asking questions like, why does he eat with tax collectors? I don't understand. Why is he eating on the Sabbath day? Why is he doing work? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And they're just not understanding. And then not only does Jesus challenge them in this way by rejecting their status and joining their club of power, he also frustrates them because now he begins to challenge them. Not only am I not joining your club, why do you do this? And why do you do that? And why do you put these traditions before God and these types of things? So now what starts with confusion leads to anger. And then they next start to challenge Jesus. You see the passages where they're challenging him, right? Trying to trip him up, trying to get him in, you know, a legal argument where he can't make a choice or else he loses. And he always wins and he always wins and he always wins. It actually says at one point they said, we're not asking him any more questions. Because the whole crowd's watching our blessed Lord win all these arguments and challenges. And all Jesus is doing is just telling the truth. He's not trying to, he loves these people. He loves everybody. And so he's not trying to destroy them. He's trying to win their hearts. He's trying to show them the hardness of their hearts, right? And so now when we come to Passion Sunday, we see that this anger has turned now to physical threats of violence. At the end of our passage this morning, it says that they picked up stones to stone him. And he hid himself from them. This is why if we were in our other parish and we had our icons up, we would have them covered right now in purple, because on this Sunday, Jesus hides himself. So we would hide Christ. It's symbolic of that. So in our passage this morning, the religious leaders have come to the place now where they've decided that the only way to stop this man for the good of the people is to kill him. So they have murderous intentions on their hearts as they approach Jesus this morning. And Jesus, if you've ever wondered how much courage he has, you see it in the cross, but he never backs down, but he doesn't attack. He just speaks the truth. He always speaks the truth. And this, of course, leads him to the place where they want to stone him. So I want to go through just a little bit of this confrontation this morning. And I want you to remember, as Christ speaks, he doesn't speak the way we do. He's not mad about the argument. He's not mad about the confrontation. He's not trying to destroy these people. He loves them. But when he speaks, he doesn't hold any punches. Okay, so here's what happens. First of all, Jesus says to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you guys are slaves. You're slaves. And they say, we've always been free. We're children of Abraham. And Christ speaks to them about this. And he says, they said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. In other words, our heritage is Abraham. We're Jewish. We're religious. We're the leaders. You see, everybody looks to us for their relationship with God. They look to us to be trained in the ways of God. Well, how can you not see this? Abraham is our father. Jesus responds, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Do you remember the story of Isaac? God calls on Abraham to sacrifice his only son that God gave him when he was 90 years old. The love of his life, the promise of future generations, the extension of his family. That's how they viewed eternal life back then. If you didn't have a child, you ended. God must not like you. And God says to him, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And he brings Isaac up onto the hill and he builds the altar and he sets it all up. And he's got the knife and his son is like, Dad, where's the sacrificial lamb? This isn't looking so hot. And his father's ready to kill his son who he loves as an act of faith. And of course, God stops him. And why does God allow this to happen and call him to do this? Because it's a foreshadowing. On that very same mountain, in that very same spot, when God says, I will offer the sacrifice, Jesus dies. And Jesus is that lamb. So When we look, when Jesus says to the religious leaders, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do what Abraham was doing. What was that? You'd be living a life for God. You would be sacrificing yourself, not living a life for status and glory and ego, but for God. You see? And so they respond to him. First he finishes. He says, but now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. In other words, he's saying, think about this. They want to kill Christ. Christ is sinless, perfectly sinless. He's never sinned ever. The scriptures are clear about that. He who knew no sin became sin for us, right? So here's this perfect person who's never held a grudge, never lied, never gossiped, never cheated, never done anything to anyone except for express the truth and love them. And they want to kill him. Think about that. Think about wanting to destroy him, right? And so he says, but now you're trying to kill me. A man has told you the truth. This isn't what Abraham did. You're saying you're from Abraham? That's not what he did. He worshiped God. You're indeed doing what your father does. Now listen to what he says to them. Why you do not understand what I'm saying is because you are from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. Now think about this for me. He's not saying that in an evil way. He's saying that the devil was the one with an ego. The devil was the one who told Adam and Eve in the garden, what? Did God really say that you can't eat of the apples or the fruit of the tree? Did God really say and challenges God and lies and deceives and has murderous intent in his heart to destroy? And what Christ is saying to these religious leaders is your father's not God. Your father's the devil, because the actions that you're mimicking are not the actions of God or of Abraham. You're mimicking the actions of the devil. And then he says to their face, which one of you convicts me of sin that you want to kill me? Which one of you is going to convict me of any sin? Go ahead. What have I done? Now, you can see the humanity in them, the fallen humanity in them. It only makes them more angry. It doesn't cause them to reflect. It doesn't cause them to stop and say, yeah, what has he done to us? What is going on inside these people is that everything that they've held dear and sacred is being challenged. Their ego is being challenged. See, they were raised up now for years and years with people looking to them saying, we can't know God without you. They had the highest seats at the table. They had great incomes. They have this wonderful prominence in the towns. People look to them. People had to trust in them. And they established this religion of these traditions and works without a heart for God. And so what Christ is saying to them is, you can't even convict me of sin. You say you're Abraham's children. You're doing the will of the devil. You came here to kill me. You see? And then Jesus says something quite incredible. He says, you're slaves to sin. You're not free. And the key passage of this whole story is found in verse 50. Jesus said, I do not seek my own glory. I do not seek my own glory. What's the issue with the religious leaders? The issue is, of course, they have deified their egos. Okay? They've deified their egos. And when this idea of I is at the center of the cosmos, the center of all things, then what we lose is that which ties us all together. And so what Christ is trying to say is the truth will set you free. What does he mean by that? That if you know me, then you will know the truth. And what is the truth? You're broken. And you need my strength to overcome the brokenness. Because you've deified your ego and all you're seeking is to fulfill your own will. You're seeking to fulfill your own pleasures. You're seeking to fulfill your own desires. And what does that lead to? Well, it means that life becomes rivalry and life becomes competition and it becomes violence and it becomes mistrust. And think about how we live in the same way. And think about how we have deified our own egos. And think about how every day when we wake up, we think to ourselves, what do I want today? I want a better office so I have more status. I want a better position at my work. I want more money. I want to eat at this fancy restaurant. I want these people to like, I want. And your mind is turning. And how often do we stop instead and say, what can I give to the world? What can I offer to the world today? And this is what Jesus Christ is talking about in our passage today. He's talking about putting to death our egos. All of us have them to one degree or another. And so when we look at saints, all a saint is one who has heard what God is saying and applied it to his life. He's heard the message of Christ. He's like, and he's seen himself as he really is. What is the problem with the religious leaders? Jesus says that the problem is that they have no place in them for his word. There's no place within them to hear what he's saying because they've solidified their hearts and hardened them. And his call to us this morning is to ask ourselves the very same question. In what ways do we reflect these same religious leaders? In what ways does our ego need to be destroyed and crushed? Because true life is found, of course, in humility and repentance. These are the weapons. Why does the church offer all of these ceremonies? Why does the church offer the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the strength of Christ? Why do they offer all these prayer books and all of this stuff? These are weapons to learn to attack the ego, to destroy the ego, to learn humility and repentance. So I'll kind of conclude with these thoughts a little bit. Jesus said to the Jews, and this is sort of the end, what is the solution to this? What is the solution that Christ is offering these religious leaders, by extension, you, this morning? He said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Notice the word continue. This is not an event that happens. I said a prayer and now I'm a Christian and it's over and I wait till I die. If you continue in my word, day by day, minute by minute, what does continue mean? To listen, to hear, and to act upon. We saw that just a few weeks ago when we had a sermon on that. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. And what is the truth? What is the truth you will learn from Christ? Your ego is broken. The nous, which was created to be in communion with God, has turned towards self-love. And this is what Christ seeks to break. And he breaks it through the actions of the cross by taking the sins of the world and liberating us and freeing us from the guilt and shame of our sin so that we can be humbled and see ourselves and see our egos. And in seeing them, God can then begin to work on them. And so this is how he concludes. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. What is freedom? Freedom is the liberation from self-love and sin. The saints didn't do anything special except for learn that one thing. That their life is about Christ, not themselves. And they acted upon it. That their life was about everybody but themselves. And in that, what does Christ say? To the least of the greatest, to those who debase themselves and make themselves nothing, we will exalt them to the highest place. Look at Mother Teresa. Look at the saints. Look at the people of martyrs and who have given their lives. What do we say about them? Look at their lives. Mother Teresa dies. She's a woman who gave away all her wealth and served the dying in Calcutta. She's this tall. She's done, you know, who is she? And yet, when she dies, the whole world comes to her funeral. Why? Why? More people go to her funeral than superstars, rock stars. Why? Nobody even, she's just this little woman. Because she learned the one thing that we all know we need. We all know that we need Christ to limit the ego so that we can love God and love each other. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.